My name is Emmanuel Holt, if you don't know me. I'm a recently new elder here, and it's just really a privilege to be before you this morning to share God's word, and not only share God's word, but to share my life. We will be looking at James and his considerate joy, but I guess to give a little bit about that is that for the last, or if I could just say seasonally, this summer, a little bit of the spring, has been the hardest months of my life. And I really thank God for it. We all know that the hardest times truly makes us stronger. But it doesn't always mean that we're going with the right attitude. It doesn't always mean that we understand at that time. And I definitely didn't. But I end up really being in James. Because where I work with the inner city, and I see a lot of suffering. I see a lot of pain. I see a lot of hurt, and I also see a lot of poor people. And so, I just really felt God impressing on my heart to say, to get a deeper compassion for the people I get to serve, is to really look at suffering closely. And to really look at also what James had to say about the poor. And that book kind of talks about it quite a lot. And so I end up being in James. And then just a lot of things I've kind of been going through, it's kind of been perfect. So I really am just excited to kind of talk on that. What I want to do is first I'm going to just read just the context in James. So we'll be looking at James 1, 2 through 4. But I just want to read first 3 through 18 because I'm going to kind of be referencing the whole book, but we won't actually be turning there. And then I'll pray and then we'll get into it. So if you can open up your Bibles to James 1. And I'm at. Start at verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast in the trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Father in heaven, Lord, we sit here before your word to hear from you, God. Lord, you are a good God, and you have so much in store for us. Lord, would you bless us with your presence? Holy Spirit, would you speak? Lord, would you apply this knowledge and this wisdom into our lives that we have been enlightened to see, and that you will give us joy in the midst of our trials and our sufferings, and that we ultimately will find joy in your Son. Be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So what we have is, the title is Consider It Joy. But when you look in the beginning of, at least in the ESV, the word that they use is count. And it's perfect word, it's a fine word. But what I really want to get to, before I get into the all joy part, which is very important, is I really want us to get to the part to consider, or to count, or to regard. I think that word is very, very important to what we need to do to process and to be able to have that inner joy in our lives instead of moving quickly by emotions. That actual word count or consider or regard actually means to lead and then to consider. The picture is that of one leading his or her mind through a reasoning process to arrive at a conclusion. It really involves careful thought and not quick decision, weighing the facts and not emotions. Very, very important. I know we all have considered our trials. We've all wrestled through it. We've all felt the pain of it. I know we have all probably answered the questions and wrestled through, what is the purpose of suffering? What is going on? But have we all have wrestled and come to the character of considering it nothing but joy? And that's what I really want to get to wrestle to the point of what James is saying, to get to the character and say, no matter what happens, I can embrace the trials and suffering through reasoning, and coming to a decision instead of letting our emotions get the best of us, or our flesh get the best of us. If you have, I just wanted to deal with that word, consider or count, but I want to move on and come back to counting all joy and move to when you meet trials of various kinds. In your bulletin, you'll see that I called it Expect the Unexpected. And I think we will all agree to that. When trials come into our life, we're not really ready for it. And according to James, and the word uses that he used, we're not really supposed to be ready for it. The word, it's interesting that it says, when you meet trials of various kinds. I think the when is very interesting because he didn't say if you meet. It's like he's using a guarantee that you will go through things in your life. Similar to Jesus saying that, you know, take heart. You will go through trouble, but I have overcome the world. And I think there's text, even Paul saying that we will all go through a means of suffering, or, you know, he encourages the elders in Acts that we are going to go through things. And we find out that that is the primary means of coming to Christian maturity. So I think it's just important to take note of that word, just when, because it can be coming when we do not expect it. And we want to take consideration of that. As far as the audience that James was talking to, likely they are in trials already, and likely even yourself, you are in trials already. And it's still an encouragement, even while you're in the midst of trials, to still be expecting trials to continue to come. To look at the next word, the word meet, it really shows the unexpectation. So the win is showing that we should expect. The meet is showing that it's an unexpectation. That word could be translated literally to fall around or to fall into. In this case, it's various trials. So meet, which can also be translated encounter, is pretty much saying that as you live life, you will fall into trials, that you would, that it is an unexpected event in life, and that we're not masochists going out looking for those trials. It is something that just comes upon us. So growing wouldn't be the way to try to go out and just suffer, but that those things will come our way in various kind of ways. Looking at the word trials, means to trial just means to try, to tempt, prove the quality or worth through adversity. It is applying pressure. Pressure brings out what's inside, or, you know, commonly said, pressure produces. Even in the word trials, it shows an unexpectation, because it denotes an unwelcome, as I was saying, or unexpected experience. This process is not, again, a masochist. So even from the word from meet and encounter, and even the word trial, is saying that these are unexpected happenings in our lives. And that's something that we cannot plan for, but we can be ready for. And we want to conclude that when we're considering those things. I want to look at the word various, and I like to just go through definitions. I like to go back and really find out what does it mean in the Greek text. And so you'll find me doing a lot today. I like the word various. Originally at reading various, I was wondering, was it saying that a number, that we would have a lot of trials? But when you really look at the word various, what it just really means that it's multicolored or diverse. Various stresses not the number of trials, but the great variety or diversity of the trials that you have. James mentioned a few of them. He mentions poor people. And so that trial would probably come down to provision, needing provision. He mentioned sickness in James chapter 5. And he mentions just quarrelsome in relationships. And all of those are trials, and even all of those are trials even in our own lives, are various multicolored trials that you can be facing or probably even facing on a day-to-day. I think it's very important to really know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, so that we must always be alert and prayerful. Just to really share a little bit of what I kind of been going through, I recently just got back from camp. So what I do, I'm not a natural speaker up here. I naturally work with kids. I spend time with them and kids that have just a lot of issues. And this week, I took a bunch of high school people. I just got back pretty much this morning. This week, I took a bunch of high school guys to this camp called Young Life, in which ministry I serve for. And I had no idea of the trials I would be running into. Not only the trials in my own life, but seeing the trials in their lives. And the only way we could really find joy with the things that was happening, and what happens is we go through the gospel through a talk series. We knew already that when we had our sin talk, that the enemy was going to start doing something. Because every time we have a club, or every time we're doing something, and it's, we're talking about sin, or we're talking about the cross talk, something is going to go down. And this week, it was no different. But really going through those trials, I found out a lot about myself. I've gotten a lot of situations that really show what was really in the inside, from anger to frustration to asking God why, and to all of those kind of things. And that happens in our closest relationships. Coming to the point where you're frustrated, it's hard to find God, having doubts, all of those things that you see and that we kind of read when you look at James, when we was reading in James, even obedience. Just to share a little more about my life, a couple of months ago, my family, we had to immediately move out of our apartment to stay with a friend because there was issues with rodents, and we had to move out quickly and out in 24 hours, and we lost all of our stuff. So I was hoping this huge trial was leading to a huge blessing. the next step of getting where I really wanted to be. And I was staying in North Raleigh at the time, but I really wanted to be down in the inner city of Raleigh. That's where I feel like I'm called to. And I found myself going farther out and ending up all the way out there by like 10 minutes from Lewisburg. And I'm asking God, like, why? What in the world is going on? I'm living with somebody else, me and my family, you know, trying to really understand what's going on, thinking it's going to be a one-month plan. We're just going to be there. And God, I'm just hoping you're going to do something. And I really found myself doubting God. I knew I was always called to move in this particular area, but this was the first time I really, like, I don't know if I'm called to this. Like, it doesn't just seem, I've been waiting forever to get 3 years to get to this particular location so I can serve these people, and now I find myself way further out. And struggling with, you know, God, where are you? Having doubts. Lord, are you going to provide this place we're looking for? And just struggling with his goodness. It comes down to, you know, lacking wisdom and asking and really just talking to God. And in about 3 or 4 months, we end up moving into a house. God provided furniture for everything we lost. End up going on a vacation. As soon as the day we move on, like 2 days later, we go on vacation. Then I end up getting a virus, and so on and so on. But the whole point of all of that to say is the story of the life is that those are trials. And it was very hard for me to wrestle with God and figure out what in the world is going on in my life back to back to back. I had an issue with provision. I had an issue with relationships with kids. I had an issue with sickness, as you see James talking about those kind of things. But the great thing about it is that there's no temptation that's not common to man. And that you can, through wrestling and considering that, you can find joy. I want to move on to from the various cons to, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What I have down on your bulletin is you must know better. And then when I was writing these points, I just kind of think of something that you would kind of know, expect the unexpected, you must know better, or it's just words that kind of you can relate with. But the first point that we really need to know is I want to focus on that word know. Better knowledge and the wisdom of God's will. That word know, as we probably already know, is gnosko, which means knowledge with experience. And a lot of things that I feel like the Lord has taught me has been through my experiences, has been through my trials. I'm a hard-headed kind of guy, always kind of been that way, and God knows that. And so he does that through just taking me through things and using the knowledge and the renewing of my mind to kind of piece everything together and like, God, what is going on in my life? Sorry, just trying to gather my thoughts. Knowledge, if you notice, I put knowledge and wisdom together, and I think there's two differences there. One is the experience of what's happening. The other is what do you do when you in those particular situations? It's one thing to know that you're being tested in your faith. It's another thing to know what to do when you're being tested in your faith. And I found that issue to be common. And so it either comes down, your knowledge may come down to believing that God will put you in a particular situation, or also that not only could you be tested by God, but you also can be tested by the enemy, which happened a lot of times when I'm dealing with kids. Then I'm doing ministry, I find that it's the enemy that starts to move in and bringing out a bunch of issues that I'm finding even in my own heart and in my own life. And then that knowledge starts to come on. It's like you start to wonder about God's sovereignty. And one of my favorite scriptures have really have been dear to me that we all know is that all things work together for the good. But it really means even more to me is that just the fact that all things work together for the good, but it's to conform me into the image of Jesus Christ. And that, at the end of the day, is what God is doing, all of these things and all of these trials in our life. So for your encouragement when you're going through trials, I would encourage you with Romans 12 and 2 to know that by renewing your mind, you may know God's good and perfect and acceptable will for you. Because when you're going through trials and you're being tested in your faith, and testing has that fire that brings up those things in the inside of you. The way that you're going to know that God is good, and what Romans said, the way that you're going to know that the situation is right and it's acceptable in God's eyes is that through just renewing your mind and having a knowledge of that. And I learned when I came to the book of James and trying to get a theology of suffering that it really started to open my eyes, especially what you see Paul in Romans 5 talk about, to boast in your sufferings. And to really start to give a vision of what God wants to do in your sufferings through the knowledge that you gain. Wisdom, the knowledge of God's plans and purposes and the ability to live accordingly. Wise people can identify the nature and purpose of their trials and understand how to overcome them. And obviously that wisdom will show through joy. Also, in Thessalonians, saying being thankful in every circumstance. Wisdom comes in then because when you're going through trials, you're usually lost and confused and trying to figure out what's going on. But if you're joyful and thankful in every circumstance, you can see an opportunity to grow. Also, not only must we know better, we also want to know better is God's will. I know better is God's will, all right? And what that means is a little different than what I was saying before, but better is that trials are producing steadfastness, and that's better for us. I know we as Christians, we kind of don't really use the word to kind of be better people, and in that sense, there is some rightness of not using it in the way that we use it, and the world uses it after us, but in a sense, God is really producing steadfastness in us. He is really trying to make us mature. He is trying to make us better people. And ultimately, he's trying to make us like Christ. And so not only do we want to grow in our knowledge and wisdom better, we also want to be better in the sense of God's will and what he's trying to do in our lives. Moving on to verse 4 and talking about just completion. Let a steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I love the word steadfastness or endurance literally means abiding under, remaining under. A picture of bearing up under a heavy load. It describes the quality of one's character, which does not cause them to give into their circumstances or succumb under trial. Of course, that can only be done by the Spirit. To be able to remain up under the suffering, that it may have the full, complete work in your life. Usually when you're going through trials, you have this sense of you want to give up. You have this sense of that you can't take no more. Where God sees this as an opportunity to build character, to make you stronger, to do something that you don't even know that you can do, or to bring out things that you did not know that you have to deal with. And that's the good thing about the testing and the fire, is that as Christians, we know that we want to be open. We know we want to be available. We know we want to confess with one another. And trials is the opportunity to bring up the anger, the frustration, the doubt, and the things that we're struggling with when it comes to God, that God is using to deal with, and to also build and strengthen us as well to be able to endure the various trials that we go through. And so it says, to its full effect, which just means complete or mature or fully developed. And the reason why is that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Christian maturity looks like integrity and single mind devotion to God instead of being double-minded, as James says. This steadfastness or endurance, as it said in Romans, is producing producing godliness and godly living and in conformity to Jesus Christ. So I think that's an encouragement to us, is that when we're going in our trials, to be upset about it, to be frustrated about it, is not going to get us to where we want to be. But to consider what is going on and what is taking place and to find joy in that, because that is the only way you will be able to endure what God is trying to do in your life at that time. Lastly, as we see, that you may be able to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Ultimately, having joy is to have joy. It's never joyful, as Hebrews tell us. It's not joyful while you're going through the discipline of the Lord. But the end in mind and the focus of the end, knowing that you will be perfect and complete and ultimately perfect and complete at day when we see Jesus, gives us joy and something to consider when we're going through our trials. I would like to really conclude with a conclusion to go back to the beginning and talk about just count it all joy, or nothing but joy. When we're considering something, we are taking our trials and we are already coming up with conclusions. I kind of shared a little bit of my life, but there's conclusions that we're going to already come up to. We're going to already consider something that comes to our mind. The question is, do we consider joy? When you're going through your trials, are you becoming angry with it? Are you having is your selfish desires bringing up quarrels among you? Is your trials bringing up doubt and double-mindedness? Are you considering maybe questioning God's goodness? Are you considering his willingness to provide? Is he there? Is God with you when you're going through your trials? These are some of the things that James addressed in the rest of the book concerning the trials, as what he started with when he opened up the book in James. Ultimately, to consider all joy not only comes down to our thoughts, but it also comes down to the sin that we have inside of us. And ultimately, what makes it hard to find joy in the midst of our sufferings and trials is we feel like we know what's best for us. We feel like we know what we want to be and where we want to be at. And then so if we don't renew our mind and have Jesus at the end of the focus, it can come about when we're going through our trials about us and what's best for us. And that's not going to produce joy. Or maybe we feel like we can become the person that God wants to be in our own strength. And where trials are able to break us and show us for who we really are. And ultimately, when we have certain situations in our lives, we want to be in control. We want to control what happens. We want to control who we want to be and how it's going to be done. Or this wouldn't be a problem because God wants this for us. I want to just encourage you that any issues that we have in our trials and our tribulations, it always comes down to what are we considering? What are we renewing our mind with? Are we trying to be God in our sin? By trying to be in control, trying to act like we know what it takes, trying to do things in our own strength, or trying to even be our own savior in a sense, or are we giving that to Jesus and letting Jesus be the end, letting Jesus be the ultimate perfection and completion, letting Jesus be the savior, letting Jesus' strength in God's will and his wisdom of conformance into what he wants us to be and not what we want to be with ourselves. I know that I struggle when I'm going through what's best for me instead of what God has what's best for me. And you can never find joy in self-satisfaction, but you can find joy in Jesus. So, in all, to consider, lastly, is to consider Jesus and what Jesus done for us. Jesus is our Savior. It says in Peter that Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges rightly when he was dealing with his sufferings. Then it goes on, and that applies what Jesus did. We can follow and model in our relationships, in our marriage, which was the next thing that Peter was talking about when he was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 3. It can, what Jesus has done for just enduring the cross and ultimately taking suffering on our behalf so that we may be reconciled to God. And so consider it joy for what Jesus has done. Consider it joy for God is making us and conforming us into the image of his son. Consider it joy that God is making you stronger as a Christian as you go through your trials. Consider it joy that God is working in your life. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this time, this opportunity to share your word. Definitely wasn't easy, but I just thank you for the opportunity to be with this family and to grow together. Lord, you're faithful to us. Continue to work in our lives. Lord, help us to embrace our sufferings. Help us to consider it all joy, nothing but joy. Help us to look towards Jesus, which cometh our help. God, you are merciful, you're good, you're loving, and you're faithful to us. God, help us to stand firm in our trials and in our tribulations, Lord. Help us to rely upon your strength. Help us to give up our control. Help us to let go of ourselves, God, and you take our lives and do what you need to do that we may be conforming to your godliness and into your son, God. Have your way in our lives. Let your presence fill us. And Lord, be with us as we go out through this week. Help us to not doubt you. Help us to, by your spirit, to give up our anger, give up our frustration, give up the life that we so desire so that you can do what you want to do in our lives, Lord. You are omnipotent, you are all powerful, and you can do all things. Lord, let us not doubt you. Let us not give up on your goodness and know that you're working all things for our good, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.